Who is your favorite superhero or comic character? Your first favorite.
My first favorite was Thor.
Thor. My man.
When I started reading comics, my first favorite was actually Thor.
So is that the first?
Actually, I have two. Thor and Captain America, actually.
All right, we're not friends anymore.
But Thor's my number one, though.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, my Thor's my number one, though. When I thought that she said that she didn't want to have a son, that's I took that the wrong way. She said she didn't want to have a son with the man she was with. I'm like, oh, because she was scared of raising me.
The first action figure that's made after my own image, the fat Thor.
Oh my god.
I saw that and I'm like, I have to have that. Finally, yeah. An action figure in my own image. I guess I could have bought a Mick Foley action figure back in the day, but oh well. I missed the boat.
Hey, comic creators, artists, writers, world builders, this is your call to action. Here at Talking Comics, we love diving into the stories behind the story. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in the game for years, we want to hear your journey, your creative process, and what fuels your imagination. So, ready to talk comics with us? Message us or hit the link in our bio and be a guest on Talking Comics.
Welcome to Talking Comics. I appreciate you joining me, Kevin. Just before we dive into your comic and business stuff, let's just tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a proud country boy, as I'm in Tennessee, born and raised. I started in comics about 3 years ago, actually, and I did not grow up reading comics at all. I kind of fell in love in comics about around 2020 when the pandemic happened, because I really didn't have enough to do. So I'm like, let me just try to find something to read or something. And I found out about comics, like indie comics. I knew about Marvel and DC, but I never really cared to read their comics. I read some digital and watched their movies and shows and stuff. Well, I found out about indie comics. I was like, what is indie comics? And then that's when I learned about Image, Dynamite, Dark Horse, Valiant, or I forget, I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly. Yeah,
Valiant.
Yeah, that V word.
Company. Yeah, that V one. Yeah. Boom's another one.
Sorry, my voice. Boom Studios. And all these
Mad
different.
Cat, yeah. I love some of those. Yeah, some of those are the best.
They are. I found out what the stories I have. So literally, I have a lot of comics now, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Hellboy. I got some Ace Blade from my friend, his comic company. I got some Black Sands. So I just started indie comics. And then I fell in love with it. And I just thought about it. I was like, how can I get into comics? Because I love storytelling. Because I'm like, writing is my therapy. So I want to challenge my writing and kind of like figure out how to get into comics. And so from there, I've published 3 comics so far. I'm about to publish my next one soon.
So just in 3 years, you've published 4 comics?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's crazy. So go into that. So like you decided to start your own?
Yeah, I did. Because I got to the point where I'm like, I'm tired of how Hollywood keeps rebooting the same stuff over and over and over and over again. And I got to the point saying, why do I need to wait on somebody when I can just make stories myself? And so I researched, trying to figure out how to write comics, how to find artists and everything. At first, I was hesitant because, like, I have to write a script. I was like, how the hell do I write a script? Like, what the heck?
I was like, all right, so give me some pointers because I'm about to write my first comics script. So
so it's like writing a screenplay, but it's in a different format. Because when you write a comic script, you have to put page 1 and like panel 1, and you have to and then write a description of what you see in your head so the artist can translate into the paper. But you have to be like very specific. But of course, the artist can still ask questions just in case, so they can make sure they're getting your story correctly. And then you got to put your character name and whatever the lettering you want on your page. So it's actually a very simple thing, but so it's actually not that hard. It's just the hard part is just explain it to your artists when they ask like questions and how to break it down and also sometimes the description kind of get, because if you have a crazy imagination, it kind of gets hard trying to describe what's in your head. So it's actually a really cool process. So yeah, just make sure you put page one. If you're like a period piece, make sure you put like page one, the year is yada yada yada, location yada yada yada, and then the description of what's happening in that scene that you want on your comic. And I'll say on one page, don't go more than six panels because it would get too busy.
Too busy. Six
Yeah.
panels. All right. Great advice, folks. Six panels. Or, yeah, six panels per page, max. I'm going to write that down. No, it's interesting because I created a mascot for Talking Comics, right? So I have Panel
Nice.
Pete. Hold on. I got a sticker right here. Panel Pete. Jeez.
Ah,
Drop it.
he's trying to run away.
So he's like a comic, word bubble, right?
Nice.
And
Nice,
then
yeah.
like so he's our mascot now. And
Heck yeah.
I want to create a series of like, the Chronicles of Panel Pete or something like that.
Heck yeah.
And just as like I'm thinking it's going to be more of just a series of like one shots instead of like a whole continuous series. But it's all just getting pen to paper at the moment, trying to get it all down. And in the beginning, I was very hesitant because, or a few weeks ago, because I'm one of those people, and you might be similar, you might have been this way, might be something for us to dive into. I'm one of those people, I have to do everything myself. I hate asking for help, right? And so I'm like, how am I going to learn to draw? How am I going to learn to do this? How am I going to take the time? How am I going to get my 10,000 hours in to make this good? There's just, it's not possible. In doing these conversations, I'm like, man, I'll find an artist eventually in one of these conversations that'll actually, we'll click, we'll do it, and it'll be perfect. So I'm going to keep working on the script. And then when I find my artist, it'll be perfect.
Oh yeah.
So I say that just because, like, I do a lot, comic stuff. I mean, I'm into everything. And it seems like, going through, your website and your company and stuff, it's like you're into a lot of different areas. Like, what made you go into that? Like, what is all of it? What are you doing? And what made you start all of that?
So one, I started because I've been hearing a lot of stories about how a lot of people have been mistreated by these corporations, especially artists. And so that kind of just lit a fire in me. I wanted to like build out my company and expand it and try to help people. Because all my life, I've always wanted to be an inspiration to people, and I've always just asked the question, how could I do that? And ideas just started flowing. And I just listened to people's stories, and I'm like, oh my God. And especially artist-wise, that's why I started my publishing company, because literally almost every artist I've talked to told me how corporations legit don't appreciate them. Like they just use them and just basically steal money from them. And I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. And so the way I always explain that, I want my company to be like a family-friendly partnership, kind of in a way. The way I interview artists is if I want to see if I can be friends with you before I even think about a business relationship. I'm like, especially if I love your art, I want to work long term. So I want to make sure that we can actually be friends at the same time as being a business associates, because I want all of us to have fun doing the projects. I don't want to have no job just to like to have it just to get money. I want to work what I love to do, and that's exactly what I'm doing. And I want everyone to feel appreciated in what they're doing, and not just being there just trying to survive, but actually enjoy it and actually be able to live.
Give us an example. Like, what's the worst example you've heard
Oof.
of an artist? Or, you don't have to be the worst. Just an example, like how they're mistreated.
Like some Marvel artists, they get the big company. You think they live like a really good life, but I've seen pictures of they're not their setup is still like they're living and on a low income. Like you work at the big company, so I figure you like all this money, but they like no, they basically pay like pennies, like per page and stuff. And I'm like, wow. And the art be so high quality, I'm shocked that Marvel only paid them properly. And then also when it translates like movies and games, you would think the artists should get some royalties from that. Apparently they don't. So that's, I'm like, oh my God. Like, so they legit just take your art and just make it, just keep it to themselves and don't pay them for the art. I mean, even when they translate to games and movies and shows,
they can use it however they want, whenever they want, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
They get paid one time for the piece of artwork and then done. What are they, not them, what do you think, or what do artists that you know typically want for like per page, a dollar amount per page? What's a good rate that's fair for everybody?
Some of them I've met, a lot of them are like $100 per page, some even $50 per page.
So 50 to 100 is a fair.
Yeah.
Fair for the artist, fair for the writer or creator.
Yeah, like budget friendly, 50 to like $100 per page. Yeah. Because there's like some that's a bit higher, that's over the budget, like 200 per page, 300. Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're somebody paying 50 to 75 bucks a page, you're not mistreating them in any way. Like if they agree to that, they're okay with that. They seem that's a fair price.
I asked them for their price.
Right.
Cause that's the price they give me.
Okay.
So yeah.
Cool.
I mean, I don't choose the price to pay it.
Well, I just think, so, I just wanted to make sure, like some people, it's hard for them to sell, right? So they're like, oh, they just need work. So it'll be like $50 a page. But then next week they're like, dang, I can't eat because I only charge $50 a page.
Yeah.
That's a problem, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to know, I want them to feel good about the price they charge, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with, confidence. And, I see all throughout and almost all every one of these conversation episodes that I do turns into motivational and, mental health awareness kind of stuff. And I see you're huge into that. So can you go into some of that?
Mental health?
Yeah. Like what got you into wanting to be like a mental health advocate? And
because I deal with a lot of mental health myself.
Okay.
If I'm going to be honest. Especially growing up, I had a lot of anxiety, a lot of anger issues I had to deal with. Because I was at the point, I was like very lost in my life and I didn't know what in the world, who I was, what I wanted to do. I was just very nonchalant about it. I was like, I don't like everything. Excuse me. especially being in a household as the only male in my household my entire life. And so I just like, I didn't know what was my purpose. Growing up, I blamed my mom for my dad not being around. But until I got older, I found out the truth that he chose not to be around. And I had to ask my mom for forgiveness for putting her through that And I felt so much guilt for years, is how much I put my mom through. And my mom always kept reminding me, said, stop holding on to that guilt. It's not your fault. It took me a while to let it go because I still, even though she said that, I still felt guilty that I still put her through that. But she never left me. And I was like, especially when I thought that she said that she didn't want to have a son, I took that the wrong way. She said she didn't want to have a son with the man she was with. I was like, oh, because she was scared of raising me alone.
Right.
Because she had my sister first and then me. And she said she knew when she was pregnant that my biological father would not be around. She's her interior, she knew, so she was terrified of raising me. And now I'm grown now. I'm saying you raised me better than he could ever.
That's right. We do the best we can. I have two kids. All girls. Awesome. I have all girls. So
I'm awesome.
The only man in my house too. So. Total different situation, but surrounded by, you know, women. That's hard. That's, you know, no father around. You know, I lost my father when I was 15. He passed away, you know, man. So I had him for 15 years though. So it was great. You know, the time I did have him, but then I had a lot of, you know, my mom and I went through some crazy times being a teenager, rebellious teenager. And then, you know, losing your dad. And it was not great, but now my mom and I get along great. So it's amazing. You only get one mama, so you got to make up with that, you know.
Oh yeah,
can't go through life without your mama. I'm a mama's boy. If you can't tell now, it took 40 years to get there. No, I'm just kidding. Well, cool. No, because I see you have that. Like, I mean, you know, all over your website and stuff. You have a mental health advocate and, you know, chief mental health officer and this and that. And I think that's awesome and keep people. It's not talked about enough in this day and age, or it's starting to, you know, become mainstream, which is good, you know, to help people get through, and it's okay to not be okay.
Yep.
Right. So yes, that's the best way I think you can put it. So what inspired you? Well, I think we already talked about that. What inspired you to write the comic book was, you know, not seeing the mainstream media the way you wanted it. So you researched how to start a comic. So go through your creative process. How did you... You researched it, and then what? What did you do next?
I try to figure out what story I wanted to tell.
Okay.
And that actually came from when I actually read my mom's unpublished murder mystery novel she wrote. That's what also inspired me to get into writing. So when she gave me permission to read that book, I could not put that book down. When I was reading that book all day, and I was so upset when people called my name while I'm reading the book. I was like, yeah! and she gave me advice about writing, and she said, write from your heart and tell the story that you want to tell, and don't be afraid of what people say about what you wrote, because it's still your story at the end of the day. And she explained to me how writing is her therapy and helped with her anger from her childhood and stuff and what she's been going through in life. And that's also how I kind of got my anger out, was through writing, reading her poetry that she wrote for me and my sister, about me and my sister. I also fell in love with poetry, so I'm like dribble down some poetry just to try to get my thoughts out so I wouldn't be lingering in my head. And so after reading the murder mystery, I'm like, I want to see if I can write a horror story or something. And then, a couple months after that, I met a film studio, an independent film studio, and I became friends with them. This was a joke. This was funny. The guy who was over the studio was on TikTok Live, right? And I introduced myself. I was like, hey, I'm a writer, yada, yada, yada. And I watched their movies and everything and learned about the thing I call super fans. And I made a joke saying, I said, what if I wrote a book about based on your super fans and a horror story? And everybody in the chat, they say, do it. Can I be in it? Do it. I was like, Jesus, what the heck? And then the man said, yeah, do it. He told me that he's always been like getting people. So I'm a writer, and they can write this, but never actually do it. And so he was like that with me. So he was like in the back of his head, he thought I wasn't gonna do it. And then a month after that, I said, the book's done. And he's like, what? He's like, you actually did it? I'm like, yeah, just printed it. It's right here. And I see him a picture. I'm like, it's right here. It's done. And he's like, wow. And he told me to send him the link so he can buy it and announce it to his Discord. And I didn't really know he was going to announce it to the Discord at all. And I found out because my website started blowing off with orders. I was like, what in the heck? Where'd that come from? And then I looked, I was tagged in the Discord from him talking about the book is here. And I got so many orders from that book. I was like, wow. And then when everybody got their books, everybody tagged me. They say, dude, this is freaking fantastic. And so that also gave me a push to keep writing. And then from writing a novel, I translated it into a comic script because I already wrote the word out.
Right.
So I turned it into a comic script.
And so you're turning the novel into the comics?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I really began, was writing a novel first because I already got the word together and I just got to translate it. I would advise that to somebody. I'm like, if you have an idea, write a novel. Try to challenge yourself to write a novel first. So that's because that's your Bible,
right?
That's literally your Bible. Because you have to add more detail in a novel because it's a novel. But that's literally your Bible. You can easily translate it into comic scripts. So yeah.
How many comics is the novel gonna turn into? Like how many?
No idea yet. I don't know yet.
Okay.
No, I really don't know yet. I'm guessing about 5 or 6, maybe.
How many pages was the book?
150? Yeah.
100, and how many 150? Pages was script 1 for issue 1?
About 22
pages.
22, 30. Yeah. Yeah, I try to keep it from like 22 to 30 pages each issue. So, yeah. It was a very interesting process, and I was able to voice act one of their movies too.
Awesome.
So that was fun, and that's when I fell in love and wanted to voice act too. I want to get my voice trained and potentially do more voice acting at some point.
I'd like to do some of that too. That'd be awesome. Voiceovers, stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm saying I'm not really interested in being an actor, like being in front of the screen.
Right.
But I would love to voice act and get my voice trained, especially growing up with Lord of the Rings, with Smeagol, Planet of the Apes, and like though I was like, dude, I love that. I would love to get into more voice acting.
Was it Andy Serkis or whatever does both those characters? You're in Gollum, so.
Oh yeah.
He's fantastic, but
I love him. Oh
yeah,
my god,
I'm a nerd. I love all that stuff.
Heck yeah. And what was the question again?
God, I don't know. I think we were talking about getting into like how you got, like what happened after you decided you wanted to write a comic book.
That's right.
So you wrote the novel, which is cool because you wrote the book, and then you're turning that into the comic.
Yeah.
So what are like your rituals when you're writing, your habits? What do you have to have like with you, or you know, you just sitting down at your desk and typing, or you writing it out on a notebook? What are you doing?
Bit of both. Sometimes I write it in a notebook, but a lot of time I write it on my laptop in like notes. Because I have a lot of ideas. So I always tell people, if you can see my laptop, you see so many tabs open.
Yeah, I have to close them when I record, but it's like I literally spent 5 minutes before we started, before I got on here, closing out and restarting Chrome. So because I have so many tabs for it's
crazy. Oh yeah,
so I have Canva open doing all like the thumbnails and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was before we got on, I was just in Riverside just putting clips together to release this week, and
yeah. Oh my lord.
Thousands of tabs, it feels like. I hate it.
Oh yeah. And then I got to the point where I started writing stories that I did not write a novel for. Because I just started getting used to writing a script.
Okay.
And so I was like, I'm just going to write this script. I'm not going to write a novel for it. I'm like, my first comic is Arcfire. And I would have about 15 issues planned in my head.
Okay.
Of how
15, so this is maybe, not from the novel. 20.
No, this is not from the novel.
What? Say it one more time.
I was like, no, this is not a novel.
That's straight up the title.
Arcfire, yeah.
Arcfire, okay.
Yeah.
That, so but this is one not from the novel, okay.
Yeah, that's not even a novel. That just came straight from my head, and I just wrote it. And I have an ending in mind for the series. About 15, maybe 20 issues, depending on how much I want to like draw out a little bit. Because I'm also like the type of person that I want stuff to end. I don't want to be like ongoing too much. So I already have an ending in mind. So I'm just putting in the gaps. I'm like, how do I get to this ending that I want? And also, of course, I have some twists and turns, of course. It's fun. But yeah. And my second comic is called Skin Shifter. That's actually based on the novel Jocko Bunny I wrote. That's if you like alter ego stories. The villain character name is Sabrina Jackal, and her alter ego is Jocko Bunny. Yeah, and that story is where Jocko Bunny was sent from hell by the Prince of Hell called the Corpus Fiend to capture this woman named Amaya Fitzgerald, and he wants her soul so badly for some odd reason. And the story is, why the hell does he want her so bad? What makes her so special? And so I'm working on novel 2 for that one, to the sequel of Jocko Bunny. And Skin Shift issue 1 of the first novel is already out. We're working on issue 2 and 3 of the first novel. Yeah. So I'm bouncing between different stories because I'm actually building a universe that's semi-connected. I'm just gonna say that. So I'm actually building multiple universes. Like, I have a horror universe that's semi-connected. I would like give Easter eggs and like a certain comic so that you know. I'm like, oh, this is in the same universe, by the way. And when this connects to this, and then
you stole my question. That was one of my questions. Is how many like tell me Easter eggs in your stories?
Yeah, in the comics, I will have like Easter eggs. I'm like, hey, this is connected here, and I'm like, it might be different art styles, but they are connected. Because I have a horror universe, I have a fantasy universe like Lord of the Rings. I even started doing a wrestling universe because I'm a huge wrestling fan. So
who's your favorite wrestler?
That's a good question. I have too many.
Rest in peace, Hulk Hogan.
Rest in peace, Hulk Hogan. But my probably my top five would probably be Stone Cold, The Rock, Roman Reigns, John Cena. And Bret Hart.
Ooh, Bret Hart. Okay, that's like you brought an older one in. I'm like, man, all these newer people. But I mean, I grew up, you know, when I was at, I remember going to a wrestling match. I was probably 8 years old in Binghamton, New York. And so met The Undertaker for the first time, like freaking out because the whole the whole arena goes dark. You just hear that big tome. And I'm like scared. Like I remember grabbing my dad's hand, like what's going on? You know,
he's one of my top 10.
I love Undertaker. And we saw Hulk Hogan and Earthquake and Macho Man. And oh man, I was a huge wrestling fan up through high school.
Mick Foley.
Oh, yeah. Mick Foley was awesome. I love Mick Foley. I got to meet him.
I can't really choose which alter ego of Mick Foley I love the most because I love Dude Love.
Yeah.
What was his other one? Shoot.
Sacco.
Yeah, thank you. Sacco. Thank you. Yeah. I was like, I'm like, what is his other name?
But what was, I don't think he went. What was it? Oh, now you're going to get me to Google it. Hold on, we got to figure that out. It wasn't Mick Foley, was it?
I know he was Dude Love, right?
Yeah, he had, let's see, Mick Foley.
I was like, how many alter egos this dude had? Because good lord. I thought he was Sacco or something like that.
Cactus Jack, Mankind, and Dude Love. That's right.
Okay, that's the other time I've been looking for. I'm like, it was something with that, the Jack one I knew.
Yep.
Cactus Jack. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know which alter ego I love the most because I love all of them. They're so freaking diverse. So good. It's hilarious. It could
diverse in any situation. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So you have a wrestling universe. That's cool. So there's.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I'm still crafting that out.
Okay.
Because I'm studying Lucha Libre. and American style wrestling, because I know that I'm studying both styles to see where I can like mix them together, like kind of like how WWE has it, how they're kind of mixed a bit. Yeah, so that's kind of like I'm kind of thinking about doing for my comic wrestling universe.
What are some of the biggest creative challenges you faced in all this? In
Sleep.
everything. Sleep. Sleep. Okay.
Yeah.
Your mind just races, can't sleep. I get
Yeah,
it.
I literally be up like 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, depending on the night. If my mind, I'm like, screw it. Let me just get this down right quick. And plus, I'm a night owl, so that doesn't help. I'm used to being up. And everybody else be asleep, and I'm like, I'm just up because I sleep during the day. I take a nap during the day, and I'd be up like most of the night. But recently, I just got back from a trip from Indianapolis, meeting my best friend. And ever since getting back, my sleep patterns have kind of been getting a little bit better. I don't stay up as long anymore. I still stay up long, but it's not as crazy as it used to be. Because I feel like being leaving, getting a change of scenery helped have like a reset for a bit. Especially being in Indianapolis, I went to bed early, so that was different. Well, it was also a change of scenery, so I'm like, so I kind of have like the reset I needed. So I'm like, so getting that balance of making sure I'm taking care of myself and also and not overworking myself, because you can't work if you burn out. So,
Right.
yeah,
Yeah. Right.
yeah.
I'm
So
taking a break in a couple of weeks. I'm going to Alaska, so for a week. So
nice,
that'll be
nice.
fun. But I'm trying to catch up. I got to get ahead before I go so I can have stuff released while I'm gone. You know, 'cause I don't want to
Gotcha.
stop releasing stuff. I did that when I was gone in the, a couple months ago. We went, in May, we went to, out west and had some family, had to help some family, and then we did a little mini vacation within there. And I didn't post a whole lot during that, but it's like, God, I didn't need to do that. So now this time I'm getting ahead, and so I can post everything while I'm gone. But
Yes, sir.
do you have any in like artists or creator influences that's influenced you the most, or writer influences?
Yes. Shoot, what's the guy's name? Alan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. I'm not too much into Lovecraft. Because his language kind of threw me off sometimes.
He's got a new comic. Well, there's a lot. The H.P. Lovecraft comic coming here in a couple months.
Nice, but
I'm pulling it. I didn't know much about him until there. I have a card game that's a H.P. Lovecraft love letter game. It's a phenomenal game. But it's a card game. Played it a lot. I have like three copies of it because we've played it so
That's
much.
awesome.
But
That's freaking awesome. And I'm but he kind of influenced me a little bit because I love like his imagination. It's like the horror, like the creatures he's made.
Yeah, Cthulhu and
Yeah, Cthulhu. All right, so that aspect, the horror aspect, that kind of influenced me because I figure out horror and fantasy is my strong suit of writing.
okay.
Because it's like when you think about it, horror is actually not that hard to write. You just have to be very creative with it and don't repeat other things. As you get the hang of it, it's actually really fun to write. It's actually the most fun I actually have writing is writing science fiction, horror, and fantasy. And so I'm kind of challenging myself to like potentially get into comedy and like them lifestyle drama stories that could also touch people that might not like horror and fantasy. So I try to find ways like to potentially try to reach other people. It's like people love wrestling. I'm figuring out how to write wrestling. And learning the aspect of how to write wrestling. Like I just want to be able like to touch somebody, even if it's just one person, it makes my day. I'm like, I'm not trying to be like the next Rock, trying to get famous and like be a box office name. I'm like, I just want to inspire people and get people to read and
100%.
have an imagination to escape this crazy world for a bit and just read and just have fun reading. Like, come on. It's like you can legit escape at least for an hour reading. Just escape from the world. Just ease right. your mind, especially if it's a really good story you don't want to put down. You're like, you can just relax, be outside, be in your room, be in your car, just read.
You'll love this story. I've told it about 10 times on the show already, but the whole, how this all started was, you know, my daughter, she's 10. Our birthdays are 2 days apart in December.
Wow.
Right? So like,
that's beautiful.
The end of this, like right before Christmas, like, but I always take those days off and we just go do fun stuff. And we found ourselves this last year in a comic book shop. And she picked up a comic and she's like, what's this? And I'm like, it's a comic book. She's like, well, can I get one? I'm like, yeah. She's like, can I get a couple? Get as many as you want. Not really, but well, turned into that later. But so she got a couple of them. She went home. She got in the car. She starts looking at them. She's like, these things are awesome. She's like, can we get more of these? And I'm like, yeah. So we just kind of just dove back in. I hadn't touched a comic since I was a kid, and I was like, you know, this will be fun. So I was like, I'm gonna get a couple. Now we pull like, you know, 30 a week. You know, yeah, like this was our stack from this week. So, you know,
just, oh, wow,
you know,
freaking awesome. Yeah, that was awesome.
That was my script from yesterday's show. Yeah, so there's, you know, there's a stack from this week, and then, you know, now we just read comics like almost every day. You know, I have a goal this year of reading one per day. So I'm actually ahead at the moment, which is good. But nice. But that was the thing. It was like it got her into reading. She loved reading in it. So now we buy them because, you know, she loves reading. And then we started the podcast. And, you know, it's turned into, if we can inspire one person to read or help one person sell a book to somebody that wants to read, you know, it's just like it's a, being a part of the community, the comic community, and helping other people, you know, it's, we're all in this together is what I like to say on almost every episode. You know, we're here to help each other. You know, we're not against each other. We're not fighting each other. We're here to help each other. So,
yeah.
And if we can teach people, inspire people to write comics and learn about writing comics and script writing and artist pay and this and that. So about that, how did you meet the artist that you use?
It started on Fiverr. That's when I were, well, that's the second start. The first start was back at the film studio I was with.
Okay.
An artist was in the Discord. Well, she was always quiet. She just there to show her art. And one day she posted an art of whatever she drew, and I so happened to see it. And I was like, whoa. And so I befriended her and just started simple talking, just introduce myself, get to know her, and then I first started interviewing her. And I was like, do you by chance do like comic pages, art covers, anything? And she said, yeah. I was like, really? And we just started talking. She told me her passion, how she got into art. I was like, really now? And she said she'd never done a comic book before yet. I was like, how would you like to do comics with me? And she was ecstatic. And from that moment, I knew she was going to be my artist. Because one, we started a friendship off the bat.
Right.
And she works so freakishly fast. I don't know how she does it. Literally, fast forward a couple years now to now. She had dropped off for a while because of life and stuff she was going through. But when she came back, I was so happy. We was on a call, and she was on a logo and a cover for me, and she got it done within an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, she works so freaking fast. When she's in the zone, she's in the zone. She does not play. And she makes sure that the quality is there. She asks questions to make sure that she's doing it right. I'm like, I just gave it to you. You get done.
We're not even off the phone yet.
I'm like, 'cause I was expecting a few days.
Right.
No, yeah. She said, I'm done. I was like,
Jeez.
Because my other artist I met on Fiverr. It's called.
Yeah, Fiverr. Yeah.
Now he's based in Argentina. He works pretty fast, and he's like a day or two, or a day and a half, and got done with Mike, and then I became friends with him, and then from there Facebook, Instagram, I announced my company. My messages started blowing up from trying to mm-hmm. Do art for me. I'm just like, okay, I was not expecting that. but you also have to watch out for scam, because there are scam artists, and especially those that's using AI. So you have to be careful with that now. So you have to have a very distinctive eye when know what's real art and what's AI, and where it's also stolen art. So that kind of got tricky a bit, which is so annoying, which is why I keep my circle very small. And I only go to the artists I actually friends with now.
Yeah.
I'll be very hesitant to bring on new artists for a while.
It's funny because, like, yeah, it's hard. I mean, because there's somebody that won a big a Spawn cover contest that used AI. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to stay away from AI. Like, I'll use Canva and I'll just use graphics to create, like, my whole panel Pete thing. It's just a bunch of graphics put together, you know?
Yeah.
It's not AI. It's just, you know, the arms and everything. And then I just kind of the face features, I put it all together. So I didn't really draw it, but I assembled it. Assembled in America.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But I would love to learn how to draw, but I just don't. I think that's where I'm going to have to, no pun intended, draw the line and not to be the artist. But
yeah.
So I'm going to have to find an artist eventually, but we'll see. I got to write the script first, like we said.
Yeah.
What's one thing most people don't realize about making comics that you'd want, that you think they'd want to know, people would want to know?
Well, first, Proverbs say, that's an interesting question.
I try.
Well, huh.
I never, that's my goal that, every actually. Episode secretly is to, like, trip them up. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah,
I was like, I should never think about that. Say what question one more time.
So, like, what's something somebody, you know, that if somebody wants to make a comic, like, say myself, you know, what's something that you went through that you're like, man, I wish I would have known this before I started. I didn't realize I needed to know this or be able to do this. Something like that.
At least have an editor before to read over your script, make sure the story is coherent and consistent, and no grammar errors before you pass it on to the artist. Also, make sure you have a great printer. I recommend Comics Wellspring.
Okay.
Very affordable and very fast, and the quality is top notch. It's Comics, or it's Comix Wellspring.
Okay.
They're based in Michigan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're here in the U.S. They're very fast. You can print your books. You can print posters. You can print stickers. I think you print print flyers too.
Mm-hmm.
And for books, you have to order like a quantity of 25 because they print in bulk. But you think that's too much? But it's actually very affordable. It's actually not that much. And even depending on the size of your book, that's the other thing. When you get your pages in from your artist, make sure you I use Canva to put the pages together in comic size. And format the comic size for each for the PDF, because it needs to be in PDF to send off to printing. And I use your comic size like by 6.62 by, I forgot size.
10 and a half or something like that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, about something like around that range.
I've been in book publishing for a long time, so.
Yeah, like, you ought to know. So, yeah.
I used to print and bind my own books 15 years ago.
Nice.
So yeah, I haven't wrote any books myself, written any books. See, I can't talk. Well, how could I write a book? or a comic script. We'll see. Yeah, I had at one time, I was working with like 20 different authors, published over 50 books, you know, and I was doing all the printing and binding myself. That was before, wow. You know, KDP came along. So
I did not advise KDP, because especially with comics, it comes out horrible.
Really?
That's why I say comics will experience. Yeah, express their prices too. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, their color pricing is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Their book pricing is not bad, you know, but
yeah,
the color stuff is outrageous. I have another printer that I'll put you in touch with in Michigan too, that might, he'll do lower quantities, which is nice. He'll do any quantity. He'll do 1 to 1 billion. So
wow, that's nice.
When we're done, I'll put you in touch. I'll give you a link or a web just to look. I'd love for you to look into it. He's a friend of mine that owns this print shop in Michigan. So
nice.
They all need the work, but you know, that's a tough job. I mean, a tough market to be in, you know, industry. This printing is, it's very competitive, and it's, you know, it's a hard business to be in. But yeah, I'd love for you to check him out. I'm going to use him when I print, whenever I get to my, get a book out there. I need to hurry up.
and also the other thing about comics, you have to, there's a difference where some artists can only do like a certain part of the book. So the other thing is make sure you budget. If an artist doesn't do the pencil, ink, color, and lettering, because there are some that does the whole thing. But if you need to
get so there you artists, go. That goes back to our dollar per page conversation.
Well, yeah, that's the other
thing. Is $50 going to give you a complete page, or you got to then do
it? Depends on the artist.
Right.
That's the other part. It depends on artists, because some artists do the whole thing for $50, $60, $70, $90, $100 per page. Or sometimes $50 can get you a pencil. Sometimes $50 can get you an ink. Sometimes $50 can get you a color.
Right.
But it varies depending on what artist you talk to.
And then
to.
You have lettering and...
And yeah.
And then now, are your books... I've kind of wondered this question, because when I was in college...
Mm-hmm.
I went through like an architectural program, and we had to hand draw like house plans, you know. So I was, you know, I have like this, you know, drafting kit that has all these nice pens and, you know, the different weighted pens. So I've been thinking about that a lot lately with this comic idea. And I used to have to hand letter like all these like notes on the blueprint. Right. Mm-hmm. So are your comics hand lettered, or are they like a font?
That I really don't know. But I'm pretty sure they use digital now.
Okay.
So I think it's a font. So
gotcha. Very cool.
Yeah.
I always wondered like how many people, like when I see that it's lettered by so and so when I read a comic book, I'm like, are they hand lettering this stuff like I used to back in the day? That would be hard.
I think they have a system called Clip Studio. Clip Art Studio, where they draw it, and they also can letter it with like a with their digital pencil or pen or whatever it's called.
Oh, so maybe they'll like write the alphabet A through Z in a certain style, and then use that as like they create their own font, basically.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like I know I'm a huge Thor fan. If you can't tell with everything Thor behind me,
I love Thor.
I love Thor.
Freaking love Thor.
But like in every Thor comic, he has his own like old English, old Norse link, you know, lettering.
Yeah.
Like, no, they can't be hand drawn writing. I mean, they probably did originally.
Why, it's possible. Why, it's very possible.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Stan Lee probably did. Jack Kirby, maybe he did. I don't know.
Yeah. So it's very possible.
But yeah, I just thought it was very cool, because every time his panels are always in a different font.
Yeah.
I always kind of wondered that. Which character in your comics is your favorite?
Hasn't been released yet.
Oh, hasn't been released yet. Okay.
It hasn't been released yet.
Can't talk about it.
That's currently still in production.
Still in production. And which genre is it in?
Zombies.
The zombies.
Yeah.
All right, so you got a zombie story coming.
Yep.
It's not in the Ark series?
No.
Okay. No. Is that the fantasy series? Is that the fantasy one?
What? The Arkfire?
Yeah.
Arkfire is science. Yep. Science fiction fantasy.
Science fiction fantasy. Okay.
Horror element. So it's actually a mixture. It's really okay. A mixture. Yeah.
What's your like Lord of the Rings fantasy one?
That's currently being in production too.
That's still in production as well. Okay.
Yeah. That's
too many.
That one's a bit delayed due to artist life stuff. So that's a bit. It's delayed for a little bit right now.
Okay.
But her art is so elegant. I can't wait to get back on that one.
Right.
But that's TBD.
TBD.
Yeah.
So how many series are you currently working on yourself?
I lost count. That's a good question. But my priority...
And you're writing all these? These yes. are ones you're writing? Okay.
Yeah. My priority was about four. Yeah, about four series.
Do you go to conventions?
Not yet,
huh?
Yeah. Eventually, I will start going. But I said, my first conventions, I'm going as a fan. I'm not going to work.
Right.
Plus, I need to study the atmosphere and study the layout of how they set up and everything. But as soon as I started going to Comic, as soon as I get to start going to Comic Cons, I'm going as a fan. I'm going to nerd out. And I'm just going to just have fun and also network at the same time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Network. I mean, that's what we're going to do. Like, we want to start doing that networking. But I want to get to the point where I have a booth as well. But I don't really want to do a booth, I don't think, until I have an actual physical book to sell.
Yeah.
Because then it'll help cover the cost of the booth.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go just to go and have a booth and, you know, just advertise the podcast, which is cool, and meet people, network, yeah. that kind of stuff. I don't mind that as well. We're going to go as fans to a few here coming up. But then Memorial Day next year, I'll actually be in Michigan. I'll have nice. Most likely have a booth there. So that'll be fun.
Nice. And then I also have an anthology coming soon that I actually have another writer writing a story for the anthology.
Okay.
So I can tease that one. I don't care. So that's a holiday horror tale anthologies where each story is its own thing of so my writer friend came up with the idea where it's like cultural gods watching a play. Where each play is the story we wrote.
Okay.
So his story, he always wants to write about Krampus, like do his own Krampus story. And he came to me, tell me that he about it. And I said, okay. I was like, write it. And he's writing the Bible, the characters, the backstory, the stories. Well, so I can read it and approve it before he writes the script.
Very cool.
And so he texts me every day about ideas that he wants to play off me and see what I think and see if I want to see that in the book. I was like, yeah, do it. I have to keep him. I'm like, dude, it's your story. Write what you want.
Right.
Like, I'm not gonna, what's the word? I'm not gonna micromanage you.
Right.
Like, it's your story you want to write. I love it, dude. Write it. But I love it when he texts me because it gets me excited because it shows that he's actually serious about this. I was like, dude, that's freaking awesome. So he is this Merry Krampus. It's going to be a three-part story. So Act 1 will be in Volume 1. Act 2 will be in Volume 2. And Act 3 will be in Volume 3. One of my first stories that I'm doing, I'm not going to split into multiple parts. I'm doing... It's tarot giving, where it's a horror Thanksgiving based, where a group of friends are being haunted by a creature called Tarot Giving. And then I have another monster story for the anthology called Mystiful Dread, something like that. And I'm still another monster one. I'm still trying to crack at it. Which route I want to go with it. And I would say it's not for children. I will say that this anthology is not for children.
Not for children. I did,
yeah, so don't give this to your daughter.
I don't know. I let her read. She would love it. She loves that horror stuff. She wants to read Walking Dead. She's Harley Quinn's her favorite. I probably let her read a little too much that she shouldn't, but
yeah,
she loves horror. And like Krampus, I used that on her when she was younger. She would love the Krampus story. She's always come up with some. She'd be a great horror writer one day.
Well, all right then.
But hopefully we'll get her to write her own comic too. But
heck yeah, she got that imagination. That'll be beautiful.
She does. She does have it at the moment. So hopefully we can get her into that one day. She's only 10, so we got time. We got plenty of time.
Right. My writing friend, he asked me what the rating I wanted it to be, like PG, PG-13. Rated. I'm like, rated R. I was like, rated R. B. For, I'm like, how fun? Rated R.
When's that going to release?
Before no idea. Christmas? No idea. Because that's a long process. Yeah. Like, I read my script, he got his script, then we have multiple artists. So that's a long process. That's a long
Christmas process. Next year, maybe.
We'll see. It depends on life. But I would probably say early, either late 2026, maybe, or early 2027.
Okay.
Well, but no later. But I'm hoping no later than 2027.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I'm always quality control. I want quality over quantity, and I don't want to rush this at all. I never try to rush anything of what I do.
So, do you keep an inventory of all your books and sell them yourself?
Yep.
So you don't use a print on demand at all?
No, I used to, but the price got too stupid.
Really?
Yeah, that's why my original printer was Lulu, but they increased their prices. But I tested out. I just made my first magazine, actually.
Right, we haven't even touched the magazine yet.
Yeah, I printed that like a sample copy from Lulu just to see how it would come out. The cover was so blurry, it was ridiculous, and the pricing was pathetic. I was like, you had me spend this for this type? Like, hell no. I was like, no. And then my friend, who was my distributor, told me about Comics World Springs. Mm-hmm. And I ordered a copy from Comics World Springs across. I was in Indianapolis. It got here when I got back. No, awesome. It got here before. It got here a day or two before I got back. I was like, okay, it's there. I'll see you when I get back. And when I got here, I was like, holy smokes, this is beautiful. And I even showed my sister. I'm like, okay, compare these two. I'm like, these are from two different printers. Which one looks better? And she said the Comics World Springs will look way better. The one from Lulu made her eyes. I'm like, same. So that's where I got.
And what's crazy is you probably sent them the same exact file to print, didn't you?
Literally the same files. I didn't change anything. It's the same.
I dealt with that. I've dealt with that through the years.
So, I buy inventory from Comics World Spring, and they're so freaking awesome. They're so fast. And heck, they even edited my PDF because they emailed me saying that some of the wording was kind of like out of the printing area.
Right.
So they let me know they kind of.
See, that's what's up. Fixed. Like,
yeah.
Somebody that'll go through it and like. A person that would send you a crappy cover and something that looks crappy without telling you, hey, this looks bad. You might want to fix this or something. Yeah, I wouldn't want to deal with them either.
And like Lulu didn't even edit anything. They don't even, they just print what I send them.
Yeah, and I mean, some places, that's all they do. But
yeah,
I want to deal with somebody that's going to look at it and print it and look at it and be like, hey, this isn't right. You need to send this or fix this or we'll fix it or... You know, before you send me 100 copies of this book, you know, that's trash, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah,
for sure.
They add like something just to let me know that they fixed this by adding this to it, and they ask for my approval.
Yeah.
I'm like, approved. Go ahead, send it to printing. I love it. And they said, all right. And now, my Arc Fight issue 1 is currently being reprinted from Comics World Spring now. So I'm getting that inventory in about a week or two, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. So go into the magazine. Do we want to go into the magazine? Yeah, we'll go into the magazine. So what made you want to create the magazine? You sent me a copy of it. I got to look through the first issue, I think.
Yeah, that was the first issue.
Okay.
Yeah, because issue two is still. I'm almost done with issue two. I'm waiting for the cover before I print it.
How often are you releasing?
It depends. Sometimes it's bi-monthly. Sometimes it's monthly.
Okay, that's a lot of work for twice to a month.
Yeah, but I love doing it.
Okay.
And plus, I have a lot of content I can type up really fast. So.
Okay. So what got you into wanting to do the magazine?
Well, another friend of mine who has a magazine company, 180 Life Enterprise. I was blessed to be able to be featured in it. He featured me in his magazine, and it's so beautiful. And I love the story he does because he's about being there for people too in mental health. He always does makes random posts on Facebook. And says, hey, I'm checking on your mental health. How y'all doing? I was like, I'm good, actually. And I know, even when I'm not, I was like, that just seeing that post has made me feel
that
like,
made you good.
I think I'm good. Because that you asked. Because I've never seen nobody do that. And the stories I've read in his magazine and seeing what he does, I was like, I might try to attempt it. I'm like, because then I found out things about comic magazines. I was like, what the heck, comic magazine? And then I looked at Marvel has like this comic magazine showing like comics in the magazine and story of interview.
Preview issues.
Interviewing creators. And I was like, huh.
That's what I love doing. I love doing these creator interviews. I love it.
Yeah. And I just started, I was like, I wrote up like interview questions and I just asked a few creators if they like to be featured in my magazine. And I just emailed them the interview questions. And I also add like mental health questions if they feel comfortable to touch on mental health. And I was like, you are not obligated to answer the mental health questions, but if you don't feel comfortable to, that's completely fine. I just added there if you want to speak on it. But the gist of, I just want to get to know you and what you do and why. And like get their story, and I try to bring a voice to those that they want to speak.
Exactly.
And so I started a magazine, and then recently I watched a podcast that I wasn't on, but my writer friend was on, and because he's writing articles for my magazine too. He wrote advice for who wants to be in the comic book industry. On that podcast, they were talking about how important magazines were to them. And I was like, I never knew magazines were that important to people. Because they said they learn a lot from magazines. And they said they really love how I bring the mental health aspect in my magazine and said they think that it would help a lot of people if they took a chance on this, that it would help a lot of people. Especially like, it's not like, but also keep it balanced where I'm like, because mental health is a heavy topic.
It is.
So that's why I have like a comic in the magazine. So I was like, okay, take a break from reading about mental health. Read this comic in the magazine. And my magazine is also in distribution at fieldbowldistribution.com. So the retailers can grab it. Yeah. Yeah.
Where?
My magazine. You can go to fieldbowldistribution.com and you can download like their catalog and go to like your comic shop and tell them that you may want this book in their store, and they can contact the owner of Fieldbowl and work out that side of the deal. I just see my books to him. And stuff like that. And yeah, and it's but hearing that, I never knew magazines was that important, that people love growing up reading magazines. And so the way I also figured this way, I get my comics distributed is by putting them in my magazine. I'm like, the comics already finished, I'm just gonna put them in my magazine. That's the full-fledged comic in my magazine. So it'd be sent out to my distributor. So that's also the way I get my comics distributed. and he said I can have my magazine like quarterly. He said you do that every 3 months. And I told him, I was like, my comics will be in my magazine. So he said, okay, cool. You can do a magazine like quarterly, every 3 months, every once a month. bi-monthly. I was like, sweet, that actually takes some pressure off me because I can take my time with it, knowing that.
And it motivates you to get it done because it's in distribution.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
and so, yeah. And so it's just, and I'm excited to see.
How many copies are you sending them?
Huh?
Are you, you're sending physical copies to the distribution?
Yeah, once he sends me how many stores, how many
okay
stores bought, and basically he gives me a sales report, and see how many stores has bought, how many copies to purchase store or stores bought, so I can determine how many books to buy for inventory. And then I send that on when it's the cutoff, I send that to him, and then he sends it to the stores. So that's how that works.
Awesome.
They have like 60 days to order books.
Right.
So I'm just waiting to see if stores pick it up.
Sweet.
So I was like, plus it's still early right now. He literally just opened the catalog a month ago. Okay. So you know, people wait until a certain time. So I'm just keeping fingers crossed and see what happens.
That's awesome. Yeah. So get it out there, get in distribution. Also gives you an avenue to get your comics in there eventually, you know, and other people's stuff that you're doing. And
yes, sir.
You got it all. You got it all coming together.
Yes, sir.
So when they read your magazine, what do you want people to take away from your magazine? How do you want them to feel?
One, I want them to feel like you're not alone, of course. But also how fun reading the comics in the magazine so you don't feel heavy reading about mental health. And also, if you have a dream of being in this lifestyle of comics, you have advice in the magazine too. And also, I also promote other books. I'm like, also you can check out these creators' stuff. You can go to this type this link in your internet phone thing. You can find out where this creator does. You can find their books. You can find whatever they do. Like, it's also like I'm also promoting other creators, not just me. So if you want some apparel from me, it's in the magazine. You can type my website on your phone. And so, yeah, so I want people to feel like, one, you want to get into industry, you have advice. Two, you dealing with mental health, here's mental health stuff that's not been talked about that I hope it helps you heal, it helps to see yourself and maybe relate to it somehow. And also, if you get too heavy, there's some comics that you can read also. You can take a break from the mental health. And just relax, relate, and just have an imagination. And then also, if you want comic updates, there's my websites you can go to to see my other stories that's coming soon. And so I want people to have fun and be able to relate to the product that's and to what's in the magazine.
Who's your dream collaborator? If you could have
a... Oh, man. Dream collaborator. Like, one of my dream collaborators is again to work with WWE. I'm not going to lie. I would love to work I'm not wrestling. I'm more like a brand writer. Partner. Nah, they won't like what I write. Cause I'll actually make the stories make sense. I would want to be like a brand ambassador cause I love when they do maker-ish. The Connors cheer. Like, I want to get into that and like be able to make an impact on kids' lives. Like a business partnership with them. Like, I can, heck, if I can make WB comics, I'll do that type of writing. I'll do that based on their characters. Like, yeah. I would love to work with superstars like Roman Reigns, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Triple H, of course. Triple H is a freaking legend. I love that dude. I grew up watching Triple H.
Right.
I love that dude. So I'd like, I would love like potential like WWE comics for them. So fingers crossed if that happens, that'd be so cool. And I also have a beverage company I started, so I can potentially be a beverage for WWE. Like they partner with C4th Energy, maybe they they partner with Prime. Maybe we can do like a partnership too. I would love to, not gonna lie, I would love to partner with Warner Brothers to write Scooby-Doo. I freaking love Scooby-Doo.
I see Scooby in the background.
Yeah, my friend painted that for me. Because you know I'm a Scooby-Doo fan. So right. I was like, I would love to write for Scooby-Doo. That would be so much fun. Dream, I would love to work with The Rock someday. He's also my inspiration, like on a business sense. Because he wants multiple businesses. So I kind of get that kind of mindset. So I would love like potentially get advice from him and just learn from him and how he balances out different businesses and stuff.
Can't do it by yourself. Got to have a good team.
Exactly.
It sounds like you do. You have a good team. So,
yeah, they're freaking amazing. They're my best friends. I freaking love them. Oh, that's my Lord. Awesome.
What advice would you give aspiring creators?
Take your time. If you want to be a writer, write from your heart. And don't rush. And also, don't give up. Because it gets hard. It gets hard, because especially with writer's block. And for my best advice for writer's block is watch a movie, watch a TV show you love, and get that inspiration. That's the other thing. That's also what inspired me, is watching TV. That's the other thing from your original question about inspiring me. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of TV shows. I watch a lot of movies, like especially horror, fantasy, Lord of the Rings, even Stephen King movies based on his books, like It, Cujo, Carrie, so many rights. Did he do 1408? Was that Stephen King? Not sure. It could have been. It's
Under
it
the Dome.
Oh my God, yes. Under the Dome.
Did you ever read any of the Richard Bachman?
No, I have not. I have not.
When he had his pseudonym?
I have not.
I read one of them years when I was a kid called The Long Walk. It was probably my favorite, but it was also one of the very few I hated reading when I was a kid. I read some comics here and there, but I read The Long Walk when I was a kid, and I loved that story.
And that movie comes out this year. I saw that trailer, The Long Walk.
Is it based off his book?
I think so.
Oh, heck.
I think they said based on a book or something.
Let me see. The Long Walk. Well, really? Hold on. I got to look this up.
It comes out soon, actually. It came out this year.
2025 film.
Yeah, The Long Walk.
Published. It is that.
Yeah.
Holy cow. It's a dystopian novel by Stephen King, published under his pseudonym Richard Bachman.
Yeah.
Depicts a near future America where.
Yeah.
Staged an annual walk contest, a long walk.
Yeah.
100 teenage boys. Yep, that's it. Oh, the minimum pace of 4 miles. They raised it a mile an hour. It was only 3 in the book.
Really?
Yeah, it's 3 miles an hour in the book, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow. And then The Running Man, based on Stephen King book, is coming out this month, I think.
I can't believe they're actually doing a movie for this.
I think that's it. But yeah.
When's it come out? I gotta see. Come on. Does it tell me? It doesn't tell me.
It's just,
September 12th, I guess.
Yeah, because it comes out very quick. I mean, next month.
Heck yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Add it to my list.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to check that out. This might be the first time I've actually read the book and we'll get to see the movie. Because I used to hate when people are like, oh, the book's better.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, but the movie's all, like, the movie's just, like, whatever. Like, the movie's the movie, the book's the book. They're separate things.
Yeah.
And but I don't know. Let's check that out.
You can only add certain things to the movie, so.
Awesome. So, I got more questions, but we're going to wrap this section up. Where are your books available? Like, so where is the best place for somebody to go buy all your comics, your magazine? Is it your website?
Yep, my website, kevyseinternational.com. Yeah, Kevysee is spelled KEVYSIE International.
Okay, go into that. How'd you come up with that name?
Because one, my name is Kevin, and I want to build a legacy.
Okay.
So I wanted to make my own Kevysee. Yeah.
Love that. It's the Kevysee universe.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
I love that. All right. Is there anything else that we need to cover that I didn't ask? Anything you need to get out? Anything you need to announce? Anything you want to talk about that we didn't talk about already?
Arcfire issue 2 comes out August 28th on Kickstarter.
On Kickstarter. Okay, so you do the Kickstarter route too.
Yeah, this will be my first Kickstarter, actually.
This will be your first Kickstarter. Okay. Yeah. What kind of preparation have you done for that?
I've been, getting issue 2 done before launching the Kickstarter.
Okay.
My editor made a trailer for me.
Okay.
And I've been just constantly marketing it on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and just...
Are you doing any paid marketing?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
Not yet. I probably will at some point do like paid marketing. I might like to boost my videos and stuff.
So are you working on the like reward section and stuff?
Yeah, I am. I will have Arcfire shirts, hoodies, plushie.
I'm gonna make a Panel Pete plushie. There's gonna be a Panel Pete plushie.
Heck yeah.
I want to do a mini plushie keychain. Is what I want to do.
Well, that's smart. They sell a lot.
And I'm probably gonna give them away. Like I'm gonna use them as a subscribe to YouTube. I'll give you one.
Yeah, that's good marketing right there. That's good marketing. I might add a journal into it too.
Okay.
I want to inspire others to write your story. I might write your story to get you a start. And I've been told it's like the first time that people seen like actual like merchandise on a campaign, like shirts and stuff. I was like, really? A lot of people don't do that?
No, there's a lot of merch stuff.
But I think they were shocked because I also made like the drinking ware.
Mugs.
Mugs,
Yetis, and whatever.
Yeah, whatever they're called. Them tumblers things.
Tumblers, there you go.
Yeah. So I think that's also what they were shocked about. They'd never seen that before. I'd like to think outside the box and they try to add.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Are you going to have, on your Kickstarter, are you going to have a retailer bundle?
I haven't thought about that.
Highly recommend. So I've been doing a lot of these interviews with Kickstarter people, right? I used to own a hobby shop, so where I sold board games and card games, mm-hmm. right? And there was a lot of like Kickstarters out there at the time, you know, for new board games. But there were ones that would have a retailer bundle where, hey, you can still back my project and you can get 10 copies of the board game to sell in your store at like the wholesaler price, right? Mm-hmm. So that way, you're helping the stores out as well. You're not just like direct. So I've seen it on Kickstarter now with comic books. You know, some people will have a retailer bundle where they'll have, all right, 5 copies of the book or 10 copies of the book for, you know, 50% off like cover price, you know, and, you know, that way you're getting another backer. But also they're putting it in their store to, you know, even gain more attention. So definitely look into that. Look at some of the other ones that have, you know, some of the other Kickstarters and look at like their retailer bundles and stuff. Mm-hmm. Some do, some don't. But definitely I highly recommend it because I've been trying to push my local store into backing some of these. Mm-hmm. And it just helps, you know. Widens your audience too. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely something to look into.
Okay.
So
I thought about that. Okay.
Definitely highly recommend. Let's see. All right. So now I have some fun questions. If we're done with that, are we good? Mm-hmm. August 28th. Yep. We're going to check out your Kickstarter. Well, we'll put that in the show notes. Actually, they will write that down so I don't forget to put it in the show notes. August 28th. And it's for issue 2?
Yes, sir. And you can also get issue 1 because it's still for new readers who haven't read the series yet.
Yeah, that's cool. You're going to do alternate covers as well?
Maybe issue three.
Okay.
I was like, maybe issue three.
Yeah, I have like this Thor comic, the Godzilla versus Thor, which is like one of the best comics I've read. They have like, you know, six different covers. I think I have like four of them, but.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't really gotten to variant covers just yet because I want to make sure I want to build the name of my comics first before I get to variants.
There you go.
So.
All right, I got some fun questions. But
I might wait till I get to the graphic novel version where I put all the issues together. Then I might do like two, three covers of the graphic novel, like omnibus version of Arcfire. Because I'm waiting till I get to a certain issue, then I'm going to put them together as one big book.
Yep. Trade paperback.
Exactly. And then when I get to that one issue, I'm going to take out single issues. I'm like, if you want to read Arcfire, you can buy this big book and you get all of season one right here. It's like all of season one right here of Arcfire. And so, yeah. I'm like, you do not have to buy the single issues no more because I took them off. And so now I'm just putting inventory for the paperbacks right here for you.
That's right.
So you can read the source, the full season one right here. You don't have to buy them singles no more. So, yeah.
Unless you want to collect them. But that's
unless you want to collect them, just contact me by my email and I'll see. So, yeah. But, yeah.
Heck yeah.
So.
All right. So I have some fun questions.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in.
Who is your favorite superhero or comic character? Your first favorite.
My first favorite was Thor.
Thor, my man.
When I started reading comics, my first favorite was actually Thor.
So was that the first?
I have two. Thor and Captain America, actually.
All right, we're not friends anymore.
But kidding. Thor's my number one, though.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, my Thor's my number one, though.
You'll have to go watch video on my TikTok of me and a buddy of mine. There's funny. We have a long history of Captain America hate. He thinks that I hate Captain America. But you'll have to go watch that video. But it's a whole, I had him on like episode 6 and we had a whole back and forth. We actually read this comic here. So this is a Captain America and Volstagg comic. It was a one shot, but it's amazing because we have a whole discussion about this because Captain America does like some immoral stuff in this book. And
oh wow!
I'm like, when I read it, I was like, I immediately bought him a copy and sent it to him. And I'm like, you need to read this and we're going to discuss it because he's immoral.
Oh my Lord.
So it actually created some really funny content. So go watch that. But anyway.
Good, nice. All right.
Let's see. Do you remember the first comic? So was it a Thor comic?
Yeah, I think it was.
First comic you ever read?
Because I read it digital. I didn't buy the physical. I read the digital version.
Okay.
So I think it was. Yeah, I think it was a Thor comic. Yeah. I don't remember the title.
Have you read the God of Thunder series?
I think I read the first issue. I was like, I suck at titles. When I read it, I just forget the titles. But if I can see if I can see the visual, I can probably remember it.
I'll show it to you.
All right.
There it is. The God of Thunder.
Oh yeah, I read
25 issues. Read all 25. It's okay. Really good. So that if you read this and you're a fan of the God of Thunder series. I have all 25 issues down here.
Nice. Yeah, I read the first issue.
Then read this, the Godzilla versus Thor. Okay. Two covers here.
Oh, nice.
There's a tie-in. This just came out a few weeks ago.
Wow, okay.
But there's a tie-in from this to the same writer wrote both. Yeah, it's phenomenal. That was ended up being an amazing story.
Oh, sweet. Okay, nice.
But I'm a Thor fan. If you can't tell, I got Mjolnir behind me. And
oh, yeah.
The first action figure that's made after my own image, the fat Thor.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, I saw that. I'm like, I have to have that. Finally, an action figure in my own image. I guess I could have bought a Mick Foley action figure back in the day, but oh well. Yeah, I missed the boat. All right. If you could live in any comic universe, what would it be? Which one? Any of them. Could be one of your own.
Aside from my own. Heck, if I'm going to be honest, I would live in a Dark Horse universe with Hellboy.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I love Hellboy. I'm sorry. Especially the horror. I would freaking love to live in Hellboy just because it's horror. And I love Hellboy. So, yeah. If I choose a second one, it will probably be Green Arrow from DC.
Interesting.
Yeah. Green Arrow from DC.
My oldest daughter loved that show.
I loved it.
I could not get into it. I'm like, it's Batman. It's just another Batman with a bow. I don't know.
Well, yeah,
just,
you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I mean, like, I was Batman fan. So.
Gotcha.
Until I discovered Thor, and then Thor took over. But
yeah, I love the Arrowverse, but it got slacky though.
Yeah, it got really weird when they mixed it all together. It was crazy.
Crossovers
couldn't keep up. It was fun.
The crossover was fine, but the
I couldn't keep up.
Yeah, but they got slacky in writing, especially the Flash. It ran way too long because they kept bringing back the old villains. I was like, really? Like, that's depressing. After Crisis on Infinite Earths, I watched the final season of Arrow. I stopped watching Supergirl. I just went to the series finale. I didn't get to watch the full thing because it got too political. I didn't even care for Batwoman because that just was ridiculous. They switched from, I don't know. Legends of Tomorrow got too stupid comedy because it was comedy, but it wasn't funny. And it was just pathetic. And the characters just became uninteresting, really. So I just stopped watching. But they got me back with Superman and Lois. I am currently catching up on that one. That was, I think, was the best Arrowverse show. Superman and Lois was beautiful.
I'll have to check that out. I haven't watched it.
Oh, I think you'll love it. Okay. Especially learning that it's actually, that was interesting with Bill and Superman and Lois. It was not set on the same Earth as the Arrowverse. It was a different Earth Superman. I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, no wonder he never mentions his cousin Kara in this show. I was like, it's a different Earth. I was like, that was smart to have him different from the other Arrowverse shows.
Right.
So I loved it even more because I think this was the most serious one outside of Arrow. But the difference is this one was more consistent than Arrow was. The emotional aspect, the storytelling was strong. I was like, you have a ball each episode. Of course, it starts a little slow, but because you have to get into the story. But that sucker picks up and like, wow, that was beautiful. I'm like, they must hire a new writer for this because what the heck? This was beautiful.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But I think you should totally check it out.
I will.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
All right. If you could have any superpower, what would you choose?
Oof, I have no idea about that one. Superpower. One, I probably will fly so I can fly away for a while. Because I'm an introvert, so I want to get away for a while.
See, that's interesting. You're an introvert. Like,
yeah.
See, I'm an extrovert, and that's one thing that this podcast has helped me with because I needed an outlet, right?
Yeah.
And getting to be able to meet people like yourself and other people, like, it's really been beneficial for my mental health. So you're doing a great job. I would have never guessed you were an introvert.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm an introvert, but if I feel comfortable with you, I'll show myself.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah, I can feel the energy. I'll show myself.
Makes sense.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess I did a good job at that, I hope so.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, I've had fun. Which comic book character would you want as your sidekick? If you could pick any comic character as your sidekick.
Sidekick, really?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a sidekick, but they'd be your sidekick.
A partner in crime?
Partner in crime. Or partner in good, too. Don't have to be a crime.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
But as a partner,
yeah.
I would love to partner with Thor because that would be fun as hell. Heck, honestly, I would love to be a vessel for Venom. I don't know why. I love Venom. I would love to be a vessel for Venom. I think that would be fun. It'd be the protector.
I thought you were gonna say Scooby Doo, but or Shaggy.
I mean that would be fun too.
Yeah, it would.
I mean, I have multiple I would choose from. So yeah, even the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Dude, I love the Turtles, man. When I was kid, yeah, they were awesome. I mean, they still are. I have The Last Ronin.
I have not
read it. I haven't read it yet. I need to read it.
I've heard so many things about
it's
it.
Good.
I heard
so many they good say it's things. Really good.
I would be a Power Ranger too, honestly.
I haven't thought about Power Rangers in years. I used to watch that come after school or whatever. Saturday mornings, whatever that show was on, I used to watch it.
Heck yeah. Mighty Morphin, but, Power Rangers, Zeo, Power Rangers in Space. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
I watch all the Power Rangers.
I love this question. If your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
Stranger Things. It's like Stranger Things.
Why would it be Stranger Things?
Because life is strange every day.
Because
I learn about something new every single day, especially in this comic industry, with this new AI, with Stranger Things. especially my imagination with writing my stories. I have a crazy, I have like a strange imagination. I've been told by my artist in a good way. Because my artist like, dude, your mind is scary. I've never been told that. Like, dude, your mind is scary. Because for my zombie saga, my artist read the script. He's like, dude, this is the best thing I've ever read. And he's like, I have two artists, because one does the pencil ink, the other does the color and lettering, by the way. They work together anyways as a partnership anyway. So I found the pencil ink. He told me about his partner that does. I'm like, oh, he made my job easier.
Yeah.
And the colorist who he messaged me said, are you publishing this when we finish this comic? Like, seriously? I was like, yeah. And he said that this is from art wise and from script, the storytelling wise, he said this is the best thing he's ever done and read.
Wow.
And he said that it's better than any mainstream he's ever read before. And he said that he thinks my zombie saga is better than The Walking Dead. I was like, what the? That is the biggest compliment I have ever.
How are you going to release those? Are you going to do a Kickstarter for those as well? Or
yes, I am. Dude, I'm excited. I think that one's going to be my most exciting one, because the feedback I got from the artist, like, especially, I love zombies. I love zombies, and I love horror. So, that's probably like my the most fun I've written so far. And that I have an ending for that one too, because I don't want to draw that out too much either. Because you know, people go too far with zombies sometimes. But yeah, that's going to be coming to Kickstarter at some point, probably next year.
Okay.
That's why I'm not promoting that one just quite yet. Probably not until starting to later this year, I'll start promoting more. But yeah.
Well, let me know. I'll be glad to have you back on whenever you want to promote something or, you know.
Okay. I'd love to come back when I print the book so I can actually show you.
Yeah, for sure. That would be awesome. Yeah, just always, you know, keep me in mind. We'll definitely, you know, stay in contact on socials and stuff. But
awesome.
I really appreciate you hanging out. I think it's been an awesome, you know, hour and a half or so that we've hung out.
Yes, sir.
I did not expect it to go this long, but that's fine. Hey, if the conversation's going there, the conversation goes there, you know?
So, yeah.
You know, is anything else we need to cover before we hop off?
Not on this story.
All right. Well, we'll have you back on, like I said, and I really appreciate you giving me the time and, you know, being a part of this and helping me out. So I appreciate it.